You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. So mental coach Lorianne Munzer joins us. Lorianne, how you doing?
Hey, doing awesome. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. Now, we're going to get to mental stuff. As an athlete, professional athlete, what do you make of the year-long retirement announcement?
Oh, boy. I totally agree with you, Jason. It's just crazy if it's going to be a year-long. I like short and sweet. I think, number one, it's more powerful when it's short and sweet than when it gets really dragged on. And I think there's a higher connection with the fan base, with the media, because it's just, that's the way it is. But if you start dragging it out, it's like, all right, when are we ever going to get there? And I think short and sweet is the way to go.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Now, I do want to talk, a few things from a mental standpoint, right? Connor McDavid came out and said, you know what, I became a real good goal scorer, and obviously I'm not there now. And, you know, it sounds like he set the goal, I want to return to being a goal scorer. And it's a mindset as much, like, you can go and shoot pucks and everything like that, but it's a mindset of in the moment doing something that maybe he hasn't done the last few years, and that's shoot the puck, right?
Absolutely.
What do you make of, like, is that an obvious mindset standard? And when you put it out there, is it a good thing as an athlete?
Oh, I think it's a great thing, Jason, because your mind is always looking for a target. And in this case, it's always the net. But because he's being specific, like, it's going to be like laser focus. And that is one of the best things you can share, you can teach with even up and coming athletes. His mindset going into the games is going to be different, preparation leading into it. It's going to be different when he gets on the ice, because there's a total different focus. And wherever your focus goes is where the energy goes. And if you're not on the mark, you're going to be totally off. So making that decision, making that choice to be very specific is a game changer. It would be sort of like me saying, when I went to Sydney, Australia in 2000, I want to represent Canada at the Olympics. I was going to race, Jason. I wasn't going to participate. Okay. But when I made the decision to win a gold medal, everything changed. Like, everything changed, because everything was filtered through, will this help me win the gold medal? For Connor, he's looking at it, I want to be that 50 goal scorer again. Cool. All right. That is going to change the leadership. It's going to change how he performs versus participates, and just how he, engages with the rest of the team, with management, with the media. It is going to be different.
The McDavid contract, he's taken his time. As somebody who obviously, it's a little bit, but when you look at it from a mental standpoint, you've got time, so use it to your advantage. But what are some of the other things that you, with your background, might look at it when we discuss the McDavid contract?
Well, I'm thinking it is about like the retirement party. We're going out for a full-on year. It can be long or it can be short. And it's just, there's going to be two ways to approach it. Those that want to get it done, get the deal signed, and then get on with it. And then you have the media stop pestering you. The public stop pestering you. The media, social media blowing up, right? When he signs, it is going to be a feeding frenzy, right? It's going to be like, whether it's good or bad. If you take your time, obviously he's got to check a few things. He's got to make sure that whatever he's thinking about is the right move. It's going to be, once you sign, Jason, it's done, right? So you want the best possible outcome, and it's either going to be long or it's going to be short.
Does him kind of setting the tone, saying, hey, this shouldn't be a distraction, that kind of allows his teammates to say, well, yeah, he's right. Like, it doesn't impact my life, really, at the end of the day. If I'm a teammate of Connor McDavid's, of course I want him to sign, but he could sign in January, he could sign in November, he could sign in June, for instance, if need be. Does him coming out and saying, hey, this shouldn't be a distraction, does that calm it down, do you think, for others? How do you think, like, and should it even impact the other players?
Well, number one, it shouldn't impact the players. But number two, it is going to impact the junior or rookie players. The vets, it's probably not going to even faze them. It is what it is. They've been through the, you know, the system. They know the routine. The newer guys, not necessarily. So for him to make that announcement, I think it's just a blanket across, just like, okay, let's focus on the game versus focusing on the contract. And for him, I think that is where he's wanting it to go. But then it all depends on what the media is going to do, because they always have the last word. And some are just not going to give up. They're going to be relentless, and they're just going to keep on and keep on, because that's what sells, right? It's just, that's what gets people going versus, you know what, don't even worry about it. Look at Draisaitl. Calm, cool, collect. You know, he's preparing. He's the first one in the dressing room. He's the first one getting prepared. I can relate to it. Everybody's got a different timeline, and it's just, you know what, let's get on with it. Let's focus on the game.
What about, because you work on the mental side of it, and do you think the Mitch Marner situation impacts that organization bigger? Like, you know, because it was out of their control when some lunatic fan posts on a, because it was actually an article written or a comment on Twitter by one of the reporters, and then a fan just put Marner's address underneath it. Well, when the Maple Leafs asked that reporter to take it down, he immediately took down his post, which then deleted that other one from anybody else seeing it, of course. So I don't know if you can, like, obviously I don't blame the organization for it, but how do you think that impacts it a little bit? Is it a kind of nothing, say, I can't worry about one moron, or do you think that would impact some people when you see something like that go down in a pro sports city?
It is going to impact people. I mean, some people are looking for anything. That's one situation there. You hope that it doesn't go anywhere. I think number one is to respect the players, all of them, male, female, amateur, professional. The one thing is, home is supposed to be home, Jason, right? When you talk about the organization, I mean, I grew up in Toronto. Daryl Sittler was there. We had Potvin. We had so many great athletes. And there's going to be a time and a place. Like, they talked about the core four. I was thinking about, you know, the group of seven and the Painters, right? You got the group of four, the core four with the Leafs. And it's just, you're going to get groups of players together, groups of athletes, and they're like the dream team. They are unstoppable. But then when the situation doesn't produce, like, to the Stanley Cup, then it's like you're wondering, okay, well, what's going on? You're paid to produce. That's why you're paid the big bucks. And then again, it's just some athletes, they don't produce, they choke, and others, they rise up to the challenge. And I don't know. It's hard to say. It's going to go one way or the other.
And what's interesting about that is Lorianne Munzer joins us. Is, you know, there's a long list of athletes who didn't have success, didn't play as well as they would have liked their first year, second year, third, fourth year in the playoffs, and then figured it out. And I'm sure, you know, in cycling or other sports, I know you've talked about it. I think there was one you kind of crashed out, and you're like, yeah, and I learned from this. And now it's different in the Olympics because it's once every 4 years, whereas, you know, the Stanley Cup, at least you can say, okay, I got another chance next year. I know there's the World Championships, but it's still a little bit different. Like, look, we just had the World Championships in athletics. It's phenomenal, but it doesn't get the same feeling and pressure and aura that an Olympic gold medal does. It just doesn't. So,
but it's a buildup, Jason. Yeah. Though it's part of that progression. And to have, after the Olympic year, it's like the biggest championship is the World Championships. We're going to have Commonwealth Games next year, then Pan Ams, and then the Olympics. And every athlete that starts out doesn't start out physically as Olympic champion or Stanley Cup player. In their mind, absolutely, they're there. But then it's that consistency, and it's just like Kerry Joseph, who you had on earlier, right? He talked about repetition. And the more reps you do, the better you get. And then it's showtime, when it's race time or event or game day, that you get to figure out what works and what doesn't. You're going to get schooled so fast that it's like the learning curve is so steep, Jason. Either you're going to make it or you're not. And event time, game day, is the day that you do. And you just got to keep building, and you just got to keep going. So it is total mindset, because at the world championship levels, a lot of the athletes are going to be a tenth of a second, a hundredth of a second apart. That is so close. You blink once, that's a second. But now break it down to the tenth, a hundredth, a thousandth of a second. That's even faster. The human eye cannot see it. So it becomes the mental game of how good can you get in just let it go, relax? Or are you like so tight you're putting a kink in the hose?
Lorraine, I want to ask you your thoughts. Did you see Evan Dunphy? He won the gold race walker for Canada, I think in the 50K. And he couldn't even get on the podium afterwards. And then it turns out now he had to pull out of the 20K run because for the last 2 or 3K of his race, you know, his calf was bothering him. So that becomes a mental thing, right? And there is I'm sure as an athlete, you're just like, okay, this might be my only chance to ever win a world championship, right? And so athletes probably get in that robotic mode and you're like, you know what, I'll worry about the long-term pain afterwards, right? But how do you reach that point where you're able to block it out? Is there a way to teach athletes to become mentally tougher, to block out the pain sometimes, of, and more so your mind telling you you want to quit, but you don't quit, or you don't slow down?
There's a couple of things. You can train it, you can teach it, you can use it and start to do it. Some athletes, Jason, my brother-in-law is wired like super crazy where he can override pain beyond what I think I could ever do or other athletes that I've seen. And I've seen it in action. If you want to train it, you talked about it being a robotic, you get into robot automatic mode. It's actually override mode. And sometimes it's just one more second or one more step or one more pedal stroke or one more lift. Or we just had, I think a woman just break the push-up record just because that's what she was doing. I couldn't even imagine that. But can you do one more? She did the World Guinness record of push-ups in like a minute or something. It's crazy. And I'm thinking,
do you know how many she did? I got to look that up. I'm just curious.
I want to say, I don't know, maybe con men can help us out. I think it was like 100 or something Canadian.
In a minute? And
I know, that's what I said too. And I'm just like, I don't know how they judged it, but it's just, could you do one more step? Could you do one more push-up? And I'm thinking, wow, like that's all it takes, because to go a little bit faster or a little bit further, it's part of the training where can you push yourself just a little bit more, like 1 minute more or 10 seconds more. Or sometimes when you're anaerobic, like sprinters, you try and redline it at the highest point and stop it from dropping. And it's just like, go, go, go. And you can hear your coach screaming at you, your training partner screaming at you. And that's the point where I believe you can learn it, but it's just a little bit more, just a little bit more.
Awesome stuff, Lorraine. Thanks so much for this. Have a fantastic weekend. 100 push-ups in a minute? I can tell you right now, I can't do 100 push-ups straight. I don't care how much time I had. There's no chance I could just go down and do 100 push-ups right now. I know we had a police officer talking about the code, so I went home, and I'm like, I can do 25 push-ups in a row, which is still, like, I was, like, dying after, but I was able to do 25. 100, like, pfft. No chance. So that's and 60 seconds is even wilder. So that is.
Yeah.
I think don't we care if it's 60 you, and 60. So
I know. I think we got to get you back into training here. So we'll do some leg works and we'll do some upper body
leg work. But, you know, 25 push-ups. I see no need to have to do more than 25 in any one sitting, because what the hell am I going to do? It's biking, I get it. I might need to bike faster at some point, right? There might be an apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I got to run. But the push-up, like, I don't see what I need to do multiple push-ups for. So.
Totally. I'd rather do 100 squats than 100 push-ups.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yes. Because I'm like, you know what? I don't need to be the fastest runner, Lorraine. Just don't need to be the slowest so I don't get caught. That's how it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Awesome. Have a great day.
And you too. Thanks, Jason.